It is August 24th, 2010. We are interviewing Mr. Richard Kovacevic. Did I pronounce that correctly, sir?
You did.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Kovacevic, my name is Chris Seifer. I'm with the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission. We were established by a statute last year called the Fraud Enforcement and Recovery Act of 2009 that tells us to figure out the various causes of the financial crisis and deliver a report by the end of this year on December 15th. That statute tells us to do many things, including looking at any institution that failed or would have failed but for the receipt of substantial government assistance, or exceptional government assistance, I should say. And it also tells us to look at the issue of systemically important institutions, the issue of too big to fail, as it's been reported in the press. Therefore, we were looking at Wachovia, since it almost became an institution that received exceptional government assistance, but for your institute, or I guess you'd say your former employer's acquisition without FDIC assistance. So that's what we want to talk to you about. Again, thanks for taking the time. Before we get to that, could you please summarize your educational and work background since college, please?
I have a BS in industrial engineering, an MS in industrial engineering, and an MBA, all from Stanford University. After leaving business school, I worked for General Mills. I left General Mills and worked for a small entrepreneurial type company called American Photograph Corporation. I then worked for Citibank, and then I worked for Norwest. And Norwest and Wells Fargo merged, and we changed the name of the merged company to Wells Fargo. And I retired from Wells Fargo at the end of last year.
Okay. And how long, when did you become, I said you were CEO of Norwest when Norwest merged with Wells Fargo. Is that accurate?
That's correct.
Okay. And when,
Chairman is
you. Right. Thank you. And when the two companies merged, were you the chairman and CEO of the combined company?
I was the president and CEO of the combined company. Paul Hazen, the former CEO of Wells Fargo, was chairman for a year, and then I became chairman and CEO after that, approximately a year.
Okay, and do you remember what year that merger was?
Yes, the date of the actual merger was like November 2nd of 1998.
Okay, thank you.
The completion of the merger.
Sure. Now, obviously, we've had a chance to look at documents and talk to folks and understand the basic facts of what happened in terms of Wells Fargo's initial look at Wachovia at leading to a possible unassisted deal, and then the assisted bid followed by the unassisted offer that led to the actual acquisition. Can you... I guess probably the best way to do this is have you generally take us through it chronologically from the date that Wells, you know, first started thinking about Wachovia as a potential acquisition target.
I will do so. I would say that we meticulously describe that in the S-4.
Okay.
If there's anything left out, or I don't know how extensively you want me to do it, but it is very extensive. It is very complete. I was very much involved in making sure it was accurately described from my standpoint. So the definitive answer to your question is really in the S-4.
Okay, and I know that at least one of my colleagues has taken a look at the S-4. We'd still be interested to hear your summary of it, though.
Okay. Well, I won't talk about life before the few weeks that led up to this deal. I've known Ken Thompson for a number of years and all that. So let's just talk about what really transpired relative to this deal eventually getting done.
Sure.
And I was at a conference in Aspen, Colorado. I don't know when, the third week of September, maybe somewhere in there. Bob Steele was at this conference. When the conference was over, we were both getting our cars, and I had mentioned to Bob previously, and I mentioned this again, that if they're ever going to consider doing something, we would be interested. and he said, some things are happening. Give me your email address, and I will contact you. And it was basically that. Mm-hmm. And a few days later, we made contact, and I mentioned to him that I was going to be in New York, arriving on Saturday, whatever the date was, of the, and it turns out to be the weekend that all this occurred. And I was going to be visiting customers the next week, et cetera. And this was like, you know, Monday of the week before, something like that order. And he said, well, you know, why don't you meet with our, with my or our investment bankers if you've got time that week? I said, good, I do have time. And he set up that I was going to meet with some investment bankers. I can't remember who they were. On Friday, before the Saturday that I was leaving, I received a call from Bob saying that things are moving faster than I thought. We're likely to have to do a deal this weekend. And I said, well, again, I'm going to be there on Saturday. And we agreed to meet Sunday morning. And he agreed to allow our people, beginning at the time of this call, to have access to their electronic room, which had, you know, a lot of the information and data relative to the company. And so we started, our people started vigorously looking at all the information available electronically. Bob and I, and David Carroll met in my hotel room on Sunday morning, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, something like that, and talked about the company. I had a number of questions. He reiterated, he said very clearly that they had to make it, they had likely had to make a deal this weekend. By the end of Sunday, to be announced on Monday, and I said, well, you know, we're going to do the best we can, you know, we're busy looking at this, and let's keep going. From David and Bob, the impression he gave us is that the issues of the company were all related to the consumer side, and in particular Golden West. Said that's where you should concentrate your efforts to analyze that, understand that. And in my questions to him, I certainly had the impression everything else was reasonably okay. We do very thorough due diligence, and we had what I would consider a pretty good handle on the Golden West and the consumer thing as we proceeded on Sunday. And I can't remember exactly, but I would say around 3 or 4 o'clock New York time, our people in San Francisco that was doing all these calls, not just San Francisco, I would imagine, but at least the people here said we are having some problems understanding the risk in the wholesale commercial investment banking portfolio. And we're not getting, when we ask questions, we're not getting good answers. The files aren't complete. We don't know what's going to happen here. And that was conveyed to Wachovia. They said, oh yeah, we can get you more information. And to make a long story short, and I was also talking during this time, I'm just guessing, it's all in the S-4.
Are you there?
Hello.
I heard you, Rob, but I don't hear others.
I'm still here. It's Doug Edwards. I'm not sure what happened with Mr. Kovacevic.
Derek, are you still there?
I'm still here.
All right, let's give them a minute. Maybe they'll...
Sure.
I'll put it on hold for a second, Rob, and see.
Okay, I went on for a long time. I don't know, by the way, how... We never touched anything here, so... anyway, okay. We conveyed that to Wachovia. They said they could get us more information. I think it was around 6 or 7 o'clock, a few hours after that, that I contacted the regulators and said, you know, we're still not getting enough information for us to complete our due diligence on primarily, again, the wholesale and investment banking side. We were okay on the consumer side. And I did not think we could get this done by tonight, Sunday night. They said, keep going, keep trying. And I said, we are, and we will. And so we did. And I would say, I don't know, 8 or 9 o'clock, again, all this is in the S-4. The regulators, I talked to the regulators and said, I know we're not going to get this thing done. We're just not, and the reason we're not getting it, we don't even have the information to make the decision. The files are incomplete. They don't even know there's, I think around 9-ish or so Eastern time, the regulators decided that that there would not be an unassisted deal and asked our interest in an assisted deal. And we said we would, yes, we were interested in an assisted deal. And I think we know they asked Citi. And so we went to the assisted route, gave our proposal, went to our board of directors with a proposal of an assisted deal, got permission to move ahead, and gave our proposal to the FDIC, I think around midnight or so of Sunday night for an assisted deal. And I went to bed, these are all East Coast times, and around 3 or 4 in the morning, I was awakened by our people to say that Citi has been selected as the for the assisted deal.
Can I stop you for a minute?
Sure.
when you said you were talking to the regulators and informing them that you weren't going to be able to get a deal done and then couldn't get a deal done, and the regulators told you that there wasn't going to be an unassisted deal and whether you're interested in assisted, what regulators are you talking about, and what people are you talking to, or are your people talking to?
I was talking mostly to the Fed, but our people here in San Francisco, I believe, were talking to all the regulators, because the regulators were actually here. The Fed, the OCC, the FDIC, I think all of the regulators were here with our people, those regulators were probably getting much, much more detail and much more up-to-date information because they were sitting, or at least if not sitting, they were having access to our people at all times.
Who are you talking to?
I was only talking to the Fed.
And who are you talking to at the Fed?
Kevin Warsh.
Are you talking to anyone else at the Fed, at least in this Sunday night, early Monday morning time frame?
Not that I recall.
Okay. And then another question. Was before the late Sunday night, we're not going to get this done, and the regulator is saying we're going to go the assisted route instead of the unassisted route, I take it you folks knew that Citi was in there conducting due diligence also?
Yes, but I don't know whether that was just our suspicion or that we actually knew, but I was
I totally believe that Citi was not interested in an unassisted deal and was interested in an assisted deal. But I don't know that we were told that. It's just, you know, there's always rumors. I don't know how I come to that conclusion. I guess what I'm saying.
And when you had mentioned it in the beginning that a week earlier you'd run into Mr. Steele and Aspen and had mentioned that Wells, you know, would be interested in potentially be interested in doing a deal, and then you know, talked again later on. At any point prior to Wells going in there and starting to conduct due diligence, did anyone from the regulators contact Wells and say, hey, you know, we've got concerns about Wachovia. Could you come in and kick the tires around a little bit and see if you might be interested?
I guess my short answer is not that I recall, and I'm quite sure that at least prior to the weekend, I didn't receive any such information. Now, you know, the weekend totally kind of fades, but I am quite sure that I did not hear anything from regulators until sometime in the weekend.
And just generally, I mean, has that happened in the past with Wells? I mean, there's one thing we've noticed as a commission, and frankly that I've noticed before since I used to be a bank examiner in a previous life. When financial institutions do get into trouble, you know, there's a handful of folks out there that the regulators tend to ring up if they need someone to take a look at an institution and try to resolve that institution through a private sector acquisition or merger. Has Wells been in that group? Has Wells in the past, since you've been there, you know, gotten those types of calls in the past from the regulators when there's a troubled institution that needs resolution?
Well, I think we have, but I'm trying to recollect if anyone ever called me. Most of these, you know, we've never done anything of this size in a troubled situation. So most of them, where I think we may have, and I don't know that we have, but we may have received, would be much smaller, and they would have called, you know, others.
Right, and I didn't mean the regulators calling you personally. I meant contacting Wells Fargo.
I am sure that we have been, you know, contacted, you know, from time to time.
Okay.
But I'm not aware of it being at least with us, would be a common practice.
Right. Right. Okay. Okay, so if you could please continue. So you get the call at 3 or 4 in the morning finding out that the regulators have chosen Citi. So let's just finish the chronology if we can.
So I, since I had already these appointments with customers starting the next morning, I went to see the customers. Which I did, and I was early. I was still in contact with our people, just the same. You know, why weren't we selected? You know, etc. Just try to get some post when I had a break. I was early for a lunch on Tuesday. And so I had some extra time, and I was still surprised that there had been no announcement of the deal, because usually it gets announced early Monday morning. You know, there's no delay. I've never seen anything like this before, as one example, where certainly of something this size. So it's very odd. So I was talking to various people back in San Francisco about what's going on, why have you heard anything, et cetera, et cetera. And no one had heard any, didn't know any reason or whatever. And so I called Dave Hoyt, who was our head of our wholesale and investment banking, and said, well, Dave, you know, we're likely to see another troubled institution and so on. Don't you think it would be useful for us to continue, at least in a broad sense, continue doing due diligence, getting as much information as we can from what's here and taking the time, because we're going to be seeing other deals and we'll learn some things, don't you think? I still like to know what we think that the losses were and what we might have been able to do or not, just in round numbers here. How long do you think it'll take you to, you know, get a feel for this? And he said, oh, you know, probably a couple days. I don't know. And I said, well, don't you agree that this could be useful? And he said, yeah, it's probably useful. I said, well, let's do it. I mean, you know, maybe wasting some people's time, but let's do it. So, and I was, I think my time is right. Again, it's all in the S-4. I came back, I think I got back late Tuesday night. Came in here on Wednesday morning. Still no announcement. And I said, this is just very strange. Dave, how are we doing? He said, well, you know, we're making progress. I said, well, you know, I have an interesting thought. Here's what I'd like to know. What do you think is the worst case? Instead of trying to come up with the answer, because he said we really can't, because we still don't have data. From what you see there, what do you think is the, you know, not the worst case if the world's come to an end, obviously, but, you know, kind of a conservative worst case for this portfolio that we have concerned about? How long would it take you to do that and be reasonably confident that it is a good number? And he said, you know, day and a half, something like that, probably. Well, I said, let's go to work on that. You know, I'm still curious about this you know, what the right answer would have been if we were at a time. So anyway, we were getting information from Dave all along, you know, during the Wednesday and how things were coming and what the number might be and so on. Still no announcement. So that's when we gathered everyone together and said, you know, I don't know what's going on here, but, you know, maybe this thing's going awry. I've never seen this happen. I've been in this business a long time. I don't even a small institution gets done by Monday. Something's here. And so we really started. I said, now let's really start focusing on what is this number. And by, I don't know, Thursday in the morning sometime, we get the number. Numbers, I guess, is a better way of saying it. And we say, okay, let's start modeling this thing. And, you know, which we did. And, you know, sometime in the afternoon, early afternoon, again, this is now all San Francisco time, it looked like that we could pay, you know, $7 a share, somewhere in that order of magnitude. We called the lawyers and say, gee, we think we can, you know, pay $7 a share. What should we offer? There's still been no announcement. Should we do something? And so there's extensive discussions with lawyers, and we said, well, if we wanted to do something, how would we do it? And we figured that out, and on the evening of Thursday, I think, you know, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, I began calling regulators and saying that we have now completed enough due diligence, and we believe that we can offer Wachovia shareholders $7 a share. We will buy the whole corporation. There will be no cost to the FDIC or the government, and we'll be sending a signed agreement to Wachovia very shortly. We did that, and the rest is history, I guess.
So let me ask you again: when you say by 6-7 o'clock West Coast time on Thursday the 2nd, that you contact the regulators and tell them that you want to do a deal again, who are you contacting at the regulators?
Yeah, there I talked to Kevin Warsh Chairman Bernanke, Chairman Baer, and head of OCC, John Dugan.
Okay. I take it those are separate phone calls?
Yes.
Okay. And generally, what are the responses you're receiving from them?
I would say the general response was no response. Thank you.
I mean, well, was there any? Let me back up a minute. When you said you're going through the week, you know, after finding out in the wee hours of Monday the 29th that Citi got the deal and Wells did not, and that you weren't hearing an announcement, did you mean not hearing an announcement of a definitive agreement as opposed to an announcement that, you know, Citi and Wachovia were in the process of negotiating a deal?
No, I meant a definitive agreement.
Okay.
It is very unusual that when they're doing an assisted deal that there isn't an announcement on Monday.
Right.
That there is a definitive agreement.
Right. Okay. And then when you talk to any of the four Fed folk, Bernanke, Ward, Baer, and Dugan, I mean, you don't recall them saying anything like, you know, they're doing a deal with Citi?
Well, I knew they were doing a deal with Citi.
Mm-hmm. And but
I mean, I don't remember them saying that. But you know, everyone knew they were doing a deal or trying to do a deal with Citi.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any discussions with any of those four or anyone else from the government, for that matter, about what the regulators were estimating that the cost to the government would be from the Citi deal?
I did not.
Okay. Now, as I suspect folks may have told you before you got on the phone with us today, one of the other things we've seen in the documents and heard from some of the interviews was the role that this change in tax guidance on this IRS notice 2008-83, whether that was a factor in contributing to Wells making the $7 per share offer. I mean, I noticed you didn't mention it when you were just giving us your chronology. Was that a factor or part of the thinking that made Wells go from not being able to give a bid on Sunday to providing an assisted bid to the $7 a share offer on the night of the 2nd?
Well, I am not a tax expert. Let me say that for sure. And I believe that the consequences of the Treasury tax announcement on this deal, again, is very completely and accurately described in our S-4. I'm sure I'm capable of paraphrasing.
Sure, and I understand that. I'm just interested, and believe me, we talked to Mr. Levy earlier in the week. I think the days are all running together for me. So I'm certainly not looking for a treatise on tax law, but I'm just interested in whether or not that was a factor that was brought to your attention, you know, between the wee hours of Monday morning and the Thursday night offer on the 2nd.
Well, I was aware of the announcement, and the way it was basically explained to me is it gave greater certainty to what we thought was the tax consequences, and it may have some very slight benefits on timing, but you know, it wasn't material or whatever. It was nice to have.
Would it be accurate to say, if you can, that, you know, absent the announcement of this IRS notice 2008-83, that you think Wells, you know, still would have come back with an offer given the additional time it had to scrub the assets and do more due diligence?
Yes.
Okay. And do you think would the $7 per share offer have changed at all, do you think?
I do not think so.
Okay. Bear with me for 1 minute. Okay, so did you have After you talked to the regulators and told them that you thought you could do a deal at $7 a share, am I correct that those calls were before you contacted Mr. Steele or whoever you did contact at Wachovia to say, hey, we want to do a deal at $7 a share?
That's correct.
Okay, so walk me through that, your contact with Mr. Steele. I mean, I've seen his affidavit in the litigation where he says that he got a call from you and then the signed agreement came. Anything you can add to that would be helpful.
That's basically it. The conversation was very short. Mm-hmm. I said, the basics of what's happening, $7 a share, no contingency, signed contract, etc. And I'm emailing you the agreement. Because it's material, we are going to announce, please share this with your board of directors. Because it's material, we are going to announce that we have made this offer tomorrow morning, Friday morning. Again, the meticulous part of all this is in the S-4.
Right. And again, when in any of the conversations you had with Dugan, Bear, Bernanke, or Warsh, do you recall whether or not the tax issue, as I'll term it, came up during any of those conversations?
I may have mentioned that we did not think there were any tax issues of concern. Because that's often, the difference between assisted deal and assisted and so on. But I can't be sure of that.
Okay. And understanding you generally may have brought up that there was no tax issues, do you recall whether or not you brought up the specific issue of 2008-83 or the change that was effectuated by that, even if you didn't, mention the name of the notice by 2008-83?
I know I had talked to others, and again, it might have been the regulators as well, that the benefit to us I'm going to call it the treasury, I don't know these numbers, is that it can increase the certainty that our tax position or our tax thoughts would be correct. It gave us a more degree of certainty that our assumptions were correct.
Mm-hmm. And do you recall whether or not Wells actually quantified the benefit of that tax change by that notice before it, communicated the desire to make a $7 a share offer to the regulators or the actual offer to Mr. Steele later on?
I do not know. When we do our model, the tax guys put in the tax consequences and... it's just one of many inputs that get to our model.
Okay, and you don't recall?
I don't remember hearing what any of that was.
Okay, and you don't
remember? There wasn't.
I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you. I apologize. And do you recall having any discussions with any of the four regulator folk you mentioned where you not only mentioned that there might be some benefit or more certainty from tax, but actually had a conversation about the quantification of that benefit?
No, I can't recall myself ever knowing what the quantitative benefit was. It was certainty and perhaps getting it sooner. But we never, or at least I never heard what that was in dollars and cents,
mm-hmm.
if it was anything.
Right. So following sending the offer to Wachovia that obviously we now know that they accepted, did you have any subsequent conversations with the regulators about that deal?
Well, yes. I mean...
And I don't mean just the standard stuff here, right?
And there was I think we say this in the S-4 too, that there was a proposal that they would get a certain piece of Wachovia, and all kinds of things were going on, and including the start of getting approvals. So, yeah, there was a lot of stuff going on, primarily with the Fed, but...
What do you mean that they would get a piece of Wachovia? I don't understand that.
Well, there was a after the deal was done and Citicorp had sued, there was conversations of that Citi, that we would divide the pie up to some degree, and that we would give certain states the Citi, and that they would take, you know, their share of the problems and so forth as a way to settle, you know, any possible lawsuits and so forth and so on. And it was simply a discussion that the Federal Reserve asked us to consider.
Okay.
And we entered into some conversations with Citi about how that may or may not work.
Since I see there's litigation going on, am I correct in assuming those discussions did not lead to an agreement?
That's correct.
And just to close out the loop, I mean, was there an agreement reached that then just fell apart, or was it just...
No, we never reached an agreement.
Okay.
In fact, you know, that's the best way to say it.
Okay. And now, if you know, has Wells... actually recognized, if you know, any of the tax benefit, any tax benefits from the Wachovia merger?
I believe so, but I don't know.
Okay.
Rich certainly would know that.
Right, and he, I think, pretty much told us that. So any conversations with any regulator folk about... the topic of, you know, cost of a potential assisted deal to Citi, to the FDIC, versus, you know, potentially less tax revenue coming into the Treasury from an unassisted Wells deal, given the tax change?
Not with me.
Okay. And does that mean that you're aware of conversations with the government by others on that topic?
I'm not aware of a conversation with regulators.
Okay. Have you ever had conversations with anyone on that topic?
No.
Mr. Kovacevic, I think that is all the questions I have. I will tell you what I tell everybody when we do these. We'll look at our notes, talk amongst ourselves. If we realize we forgot to ask you something, I'll call your counsel and tell them we forgot to ask a question, either ask them to ask you or have a quick follow-up phone call. But I don't think that will be necessary. So thank you very much for your time. Again, I know it was short notice, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you, Chris.
All right.
Okay, thank you, Chris.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.